Hi folks, so thank you so much. So we're going to be talking about data loss prevention in Office 365. My name is Sanjeev Nair. I'm a technology architect. I think by now I know most of you guys. I think it's the same set of people who come to security e-discovery. So I'm out of in the MTC in New York. So let's see. I know you guys have attended some of the sessions before. How many of you guys are more information compliance centric, who are into compliance? Or I don't think anybody is, right? So you guys are more into the exchange. You guys are exchange experts who are trying to understand how DLP works in exchange in Office 365. Is that right? Okay. Okay, good. So I think that gives me a good idea. So we're going to be talking about an introduction to what is DLP, data loss prevention in Office 365. We'll just give an introduction. And then talk about what the end user experience look like, right? So if you're about to, when you're about to send a credit card information or a social security number or whatever it could be, right? How does it look like? And then how do you manage the data loss prevention policies? How do you set up those policies? Some of the fundamentals behind that. And then I'm not going too deep under the hood with respect to how it works. But kind of at a high level, we'll talk about how the sensitive content detection works in within DLP, and then talk a little bit about the DLP reporting and customization as well. So just to I don't have too much marketing slides, but just to give a little bit of this might just make sense to you. We typically see these kind of headlines in the news a lot, right? For instance, a large retailer leaks payment information via email, right? So, and pretty much what's happening is there's a lot of leakage of information, which is not intentional but accidental, right? So, somebody has sent a bunch of payment information, right? This maybe it could be credit card, it could be a whole lot of things, and this is not something where while we take it, not so seriously when you say, hey, would somebody send a credit card information via email? It could happen. So, and it has happened, and that's kind of what DLP is trying to prevent against, right? So when you think about the incident trends, from April 20, 2005 to December 20, 2012, how many data breaches have happened? Okay. You got about 3,525 data breaches. And that's just within a 7-year period. And then 600 million records have been breached, right? And that's kind of what we are trying to prevent against. And most of these breaches sometimes happen using stolen hard disk or stolen devices, or it could be CDs or whatever. But let's take a look at what causes a breach. What causes these kind of breaches? There are 37% of the breaches happen using because of malicious intent. What that means is a bad guy wants to do bad things, right? He is out there. He's somebody who is trying to, maybe trying to fish the network traffic, trying to gather information and things like that. And 24% of these breaches happen using system glitches, right? It could be some error in the system which is kind of causing it. But if you look at it, 39% of it is user error. It's what you call this oops moment where, hey, you accidentally sent some information. And that's how a lot of content gets leaked. And this is exactly, that oops moment is exactly what the data loss prevention in Office 365 is trying to address. So, and we think that 97% is avoidable using technology. Some of it is not avoidable using technology as well, right? Somebody really want to leak some information, they can do it, right? They could, maybe they'll come in, they'll take a picture or whatever, right? Even if you do all kind of technology around it, right? Whether it's rights management or whatnot. So let's try to define what is data loss prevention in Microsoft Office 365. It helps to identify, monitor, and protect your sensitive data through deep content analysis. That's kind of the definition. So let's take each of these steps. First, you identify sensitive content, right? So you search for sensitive content. So in SharePoint, you have the ability to search for sensitive content. In Exchange Online, you have the ability to set up different policies to identify sensitive content. And secondly, you need to be able to monitor, right? Monitor meaning create reports out of it, right? How many users within the organization send out credit card information or SSN? What's the trend? How does it look like, right? And then lastly, protect. Protect could mean different things to different people. It could mean that just block any kind of emails to go out at all, like for instance, credit card information, just block any kind of content. Or it could mean that you encrypt, right? If this mail goes out, if this has got this kind of information, then encrypt that content. You know, it all depends on what you see. And all this is possible, right? You can completely block, you can encrypt it. I mean, that's typically a question I get is, hey, I don't really want to, I want the to give them the ability to send the information, but I want to be able to encrypt it using rights protection or maybe like office message encryption or whatever, right? So that's kind of what this does. Exchange DLP is a premium feature, right? There's a lady over here just came up and asked me, is it a premium feature? I just want to make a decision whether I need to attend the session or not. And unfortunately, it's a premium feature. So I hope at some point in time she buys premium and then she listens to my presentation, which is hopefully recorded at time. So anyway, so it is available for Exchange Plan 2, premium, there's E3 and E4, the whole nine yards, right? So let's take a look at the end user experience. I mean, just start looking at how does DLP feel like from an end user perspective. Let me just quickly switch my machine here. Let's wait for this to come up. Okay, there you go. Okay, so here's an email. And the email says, I want to buy airline tickets, and this is my credit card information. I provide expiry. I might get into trouble for saying this, but a lot of people typically do it, right? They accidentally send out information in credit card information enclosed. So I'm going to send it to Sarah. Sarah is within the organization. And before it did the autocomplete, it gives me an interesting policy tip. Well, I just changed some of the policy tips. Sorry, I was playing around with it. Damn, sorry. I just wanted to show you that it could be anything. I was just playing around this right before. Sorry about that. It could be something else. But the idea is it could be whatever you want it to be, the policy tip. So you can customize the policy tip. So it says the document information might contain credit card information or whatever. You can put whatever you want. And then you can provide the ability for the user. So if you hover over the policy tip, it says, this gives you a little bit more better information. The message appears to contain the following sensitive information, credit card number. If you don't think this is appropriate, do report. So you're giving them both user education as well as the ability for them to get back to us saying that, hey, report if this is not right. And then I could click override, and then it says, if you have chosen to send this message, even though it appears to contain sensitive information, your decision will be reviewed by the organization, right? You know, I can literally send that, right? So that's kind of how the an end user would look like, experience would look like. And this whole experience, I mean, all that could be customized, right? You can customize the policy tip, and in that particular case, I was just, end user, I chose to send it, but if you choose to maybe block it, if you choose to maybe encrypt it, you can do all sort of things. And I'll show that in a minute.
That policy is available only Office 365, or is that on Exchange and Office 365, or is that
local? It's the DLP is available in Exchange on premises as well, 2013. Yeah, 2013 and up. 2013, I mean, 2010 had a little bit slider version, but 2013 has, you know, proper DLP, yes. You can do whatever you want. I'll show you how to set that up. So when you set it up, you can choose rights management as MIME or whatever encryption you choose.
Where's the option to see the report on who's
Yeah, I'll, if you can hold on to that, that's my last session where slide where it talks about the report. So sure. So and the policy tips is available for OW devices, for devices as well, Office Web Apps. Outlook Web Apps for devices. So you can see the policy tip right from your mobile device, as you can see here. But in Exchange 2013, you need to have Service Pack 1 to get this policy tip. But with Office 365, it's available. It's available on iPhone, Android, iPad, and pretty much everything. So that was, at a high level, we talked about the user experience in Exchange Online. Now, as I talk, we are also extending DLP for SharePoint. And pretty much it's going to extend to OneDrive. You have the ability to search for sensitive data. So in the first version of what we are going to release for SharePoint, you will be able to search for sensitive data right from your eDiscovery portal. So you will be able to say, hey, show me any document which anybody has stored which has got credit card information or social security number. There's out of the box, we have right now at the time at which we released, it's not in my tenant there for some reason, but it's released a lot of other tenants. It has 59 sensitive types which you can search by, and you can put a hold on it if you prefer to. And you can also identify an expert, export that as well. But our vision is to make it completely like Exchange Online, where you have all those different options, identifying, end-user education, as well as monitoring and protecting. What I mean by that is, in the first version, you will get the search. In the next version, in the upcoming version, you will be able to create your own policy templates, right? This is just giving, right now, just a bunch of out-of-the-box policy templates. You'll be able to create your own policy templates, and there'll be end-user education as well, right? For instance, if somebody is trying to upload a document which has got sensitive information in it, right before they even upload it, just like Exchange Online, you will get a policy tip saying that, are you sure you want to upload it, and things like that. So those are coming, right? So it's going to be released in like three phases.
You said eDiscovery Center. Is it all going to be managed through eDiscovery Center?
Oh, no. So our vision is to have a compliance center right in Office 365, right? That's going to be across the board. You'll be able to do DLP policies, retention policies, everything there. eDiscovery is just when there's a case, you will be able to go in and search for information, right? Correct. Right now, that's the only way. I mean, but, you know, Office 365 is very different from on-premise. Our releases come every month. So if you go to the blog or Office 365 blog, or if you go to the internal site, you will see, you know, there's a site out there which tells you exactly what's going to be released. So as you can see, it's a monthly release. So this is not too far out, right? You're going to see it pretty quickly. So again, what you do here is using a keyword query language, if those of you are familiar with keyword query language, and when you think about SharePoint search, it's got two doors, right? It's got a crawl and a query. During the crawl, it goes in and creates what we call as managed properties. So it goes to those. So when it tries to find a credit card information, it makes that what we call as a managed property, which can be searched. So if I say credit card. Type equal to credit card number, I think that's how it is, then it will bring back, because it's been tagged as a credit card number as a managed property when it crawled, right? The search kind of goes in and finds that out. And then you can also get instant statistics across all those different content with respect to how many documents had, how many instances had that kind of information in it. And then I just covered in the last session where you have the ability to export this into a format which is EDRM. EDRM is a format which is widely accepted by the e-discovery and the legal community. So you can export it to that format, which will contain this information, the documents, and you will be able to give it out to legal counsel. Now let's take a look at data loss prevention, policy management, and fundamentals. Now let's take a look, go back, and what I showed you before was the end user experience with respect to how it works. Now let's take a look at how I can create policies, right? How I can create policies from scratch. So now, if you go to the data loss prevention tab, so you go to the, pretty much how you get here is you go to admin, you go to Exchange Online Admin Center, you go to compliance management, and you have this something known as data loss prevention. And over here, I have the ability to create my own templates, right? So I can either create a new DLP policy from a template, or I can import a DLP policy. So a lot of times we have a lot of out of the box templates which is available, but if you want, there's also third parties out there. I forgot the name. I think there's a company which starts with the letter P. There's a few companies out there who sell these templates, right? So if you're on a specific vector, I know you guys are primarily in Houston, it's all around oil and gas. So there could be DLP templates specific to oil and gas, which you can get as well. So over here, I go to the new DLP policy from template. And you can give a name. Let's say in this case, I'm in healthcare industry. So I'm going to say healthcare policy. So as you can see, there's a whole lot of policies out there, right, which is available. So let's say I choose HIPAA, right? HIPAA is a healthcare insurance policy, which is part of in the pharmaceutical industry, right? So it's a pretty common policy. And I think one of the, in the last session, I was talking about security in Office 365. So one thing you need to kind of think about is when it comes to HIPAA, right? We say that Office 365 is secured by HIPAA, right? It's compliant for HIPAA. What that means is it's not just that we comply for HIPAA, but it also means that you have a certain, as a customer, you have a bunch of things to do as well, right? In this case, it's your responsibility to go in and set up this HIPAA templates. So I say healthcare policy, I click save, that's pretty much easy because, I'm just choosing it from a template. But if I'm planning to, either import a template or create my own template, that might take a little bit more time. I think internet is not working so well. It's taking a little bit of time. But as such, it's pretty much behind the scene, what it's doing is it has got a policy template which is defined using XML, right? It's just basically XML template. And when you go in and, let's say, buy your policy template, that's exactly what you do, right? You're just going an XML template. It could be a bunch of regular expression pattern matching. The people who sell it to you know your industry. And then pretty much they are giving you very specific things, right? Even if you do HIPAA, for instance, even after you do HIPAA, there could be certain policies which you still need to do, right? There could be patient information or something like that which you need to kind of do, right? So that's something you need to do. So just created that. So let's just take a look at this policy. Now, when I create this policy, you have different modes, right? Typically, when you create a policy, right, you don't really want to roll it out immediately, right? You would want to test it first, right? So when you say test, right, it would be pretty much like a non-disruptive way in which you would test, right? You don't really want, while you're testing, right, you might want your users to still send out those emails, but it's in a test mode, right? So, but you still want to know what they are doing, right? You might want to get your get like a report or something like that. But what the test does is it doesn't really enforce it, but it's in a test mode. So I have a policy call, and policy mode is enforce. I have test with policy tips, and there's a testing. There's another mode which I chose is testing without policy tips. That's what I chose right now. So when I click edit on this policy, it just it says healthcare, and then it's got, you know, it says enabled. Right now it's set to test DLP without policy tips. But then when I click on the rule, there's a bunch of different rules which it automatically applied. This is specifically for HIPAA. Now let's look at the HIPAA. There's one of the rules which it set is HIPAA scan email sent outside low count. Let's take a look at what that's doing. If I open up that policy, that's the name of the policy, but you will see how descriptive this is. I can do a whole lot of rules right here, right? I can say if the sender is a person who is external, who is a member of this group, has specific properties, and if the recipient is external, is a member of this group, if the subject or the body contains this tag, it has got any attachment, and recipients include any of these words, there's a whole lot of things. And then in this case, what it's saying is if this recipient is located outside the organization and if it contains social security or drug enforcement number, notify the sender. And then there's also a time bombing which you can do with respect to how long you want to set this policy. Right? So in this case, I said it has to be outside the organization. You can say inside the organization, or if it's a partner organization, there's a whole lot of things you can do there. And I can say these are the things which it created, the sensitive information types. I can say whether it's, you know, social security number, drug enforcement number. If you click OK, you will see a whole lot of other things, right? It even has you know, different country-specific things like Australian license number or Canadian license number. You can do a whole lot of things which is specific to countries as well. It's pretty comprehensive with respect to what this can do. And then you can say, do the following. And what do you want to do, right? Do you want to? There's a whole lot of things you can do. And this is pretty interesting as well. You can just forward the message with an approval. I think what's interesting here is that, you know, earlier I was talking about some people want to just, you know, they don't want to just block the email. They might want to encrypt it, right? And that's, I think, one of the questions which has been asked here. So right here I can say, do you want to, you can send the email, but you need to encrypt it, right? You can either apply rights protection or TLS protection, or there's a bunch of different encryption mechanisms which you provide, right? So you can choose any of those things as well. And there's also, you can add exceptions as well. You know, maybe you have this rule except, you know, something else. You can add that as well. So it's pretty comprehensive with respect to what it can do. And then, you can delete it. You can you can also see the rule matches for the send email. You can see a report of all the rules right from there. You know, this is one report, but there's another place where you would see the reports as well. But right here, you can see, you know, how many rules were matched for that send email and things like that. Okay, all right, and then so that's that. So that's basically that's how I would create a policy template right from ground up. And remember, I was showing the credit card policy. This was that particular policy which I was showing. I could, you know, click on here, and then I can, you know, pretty much if you look at the rules, what that says is that in Outlook, if there's an external recipient with credit card information, you just have to notify that. And if you look at the email, the rule information, it says that if the recipient is located outside the organization, if it's got a credit card number. I got both outside and inside, which is why Sarah Davis was actually inside the organization. And then you can also, in this case, it's interesting. It actually sends an incident report to this particular email address, right, with respect to all the activities. So that's that. All right. So let's go back to the deck here. So when you think about, you know, DLP policy enforcement, right, our mission is to give you a flexible set of tools, right? So to give you the right amount of level of control. Anyone who knows transport rules in exchange, DLP is kind of built on exchange transport rules. So like I said, right, when I talk about protecting your email, it means different things to different people, right? It might be that you just alert that, you know, you shouldn't, or maybe it's just a user education, or it could be that you might want to classify it based on that, or you might want to encrypt it, append it, override it. I mean, so basically you can do any of these things. The idea is that's why we give you that level of control within your DLP policy, right? You can encrypt it, you can do, the actions you can do is a whole lot, right? So based on this, you can do, and because it's built on transport rules, you can really extend this as well. Okay. So if you think about the, you know, built-in DLP content areas, we have a whole lot of policies which is available out of the box. Pretty much most of the U.S., like things like HIPAA, you know, there's a whole lot of U.S.-specific compliance regulations available. There's different country-specific policies for Germany, U.K., Canada. And like I said, if you feel like buying another, if that doesn't work for you, you can always go in and buy, you know, policy templates from outside the organization as well. So let's take a look at how it works, the DLP system, when you send an email, right? What happens is an admin goes in and creates a DLP policy and uploads that into the Exchange Online. And what happens is those policies are actually distributed to the clients as well, right? In this case, remember when I was doing, I was in Outlook, and when I sent the email out, right, it gave me the policy tip right there. Even if I'm offline, it will still do it, right? Because the policy tip is being pushed out to the client, right? It's available in the client. So that's what is giving you that contextual policy education. And then let's say the email is sent. So there's two checks. One is at the client itself, and then there's backend as well. Right? So let's say you send the email, you override it, you send it. The backend will go in and validate that. And let's say in some case, let's say if your a client failed, right, it didn't respond properly or some reason, it's definitely going to be caught at the back end, right? And then it's going to send out an incident report as well. It's going to generate, it's going to audit, and it's going to generate the incident report. Now let's take a look at, so again, I think this is something which I kind of discussed before. Our vision is to have, when it comes to compliance, we want to have a single area where you go for compliance, right? So we're going to be rolling out this notion of an Office 365 compliance center where pretty much it will cover all your compliance requirements, whether it is auditing, archiving, discovering, you know, encrypting content, DLP, all those things, right, will be managed through one single interface. And that's going to be our vision. It's not there yet, but that's going to be coming soon. And this is how it's going to look like when it's released. You will have that one single compliance center, and it'll allow you to create a single policy across all your different workloads, right? So you don't really have to think about Exchange, SharePoint. You will just go there to create your policy across all the different workloads. So one policy definition independent of the workload, one policy lifecycle, one set of sensitive type definitions, and like I said, SharePoint, Exchange, and the whole nine yards will be managed through one single interface. Correct, yeah. Right. Right now, you have to go to Exchange Online. You have to go to Compliance Management. Yeah, so we're going to take that out. I mean, our vision is to have, like, Office 365 is just one single set of services. I mean, we say Exchange, SharePoint, but end of the day, it's file sharing, email. So we want you to look at it from a compliance perspective. It's just one layer which covers everything, right? So that's kind of the vision, so. That's coming, but that's something which is being looked at right now. It's not available. I hope that's the same answer you got. Well, you can right now export your Yammer conversations. Well, you know, and there's no date or anything, but you know, again, I've heard things that it's coming, but right now, no. Yes. So let's take a look at under the hood, right? How do we detect sensitive content, right? So this is a good example of your email. So let's say on the top you have an email where you're sending out a credit card information with, it's got Visa, it's got expiry. And below you have another email which has got a booking code, right? And that booking code looks like a credit card information, but it's not really a credit card. So now let's take a look at how the system is going to really handle it. First, you know, it gets the content, right? It's Joseph Foster, Visa, whatever. And then it'll do a regular expression analysis. Is it a 16-digit number? Yes, it's detected. But then it's going to do a function analysis, and it's a pretty popular algorithm for credit card. It's called Lund's algorithm, I believe. And that's like, you know, the most valid, you know, way to check a credit card information, right? So it goes and then checks against that, you know, proper Lund's algorithm saying that it's a valid credit card number. So if it's invalid, it's not going to it's going to reject it. And then it actually looks at additional evidence, you know, whether the keyword Visa is near the number, you know, so basically it's adding up lot more evidences to reduce those false positives, right? So it adds up all those things to give you the final verdict. Okay. All right, so another, you know, when it comes to DLP, we also introduce something known as document fingerprinting. You know, because most of the time, you know, sensitive information is not just within your email, right? It could be in a document which you are attaching and sending it out, right? It could be in a document where, you know, somebody might accidentally send their 1040 or easy or W-2 via email, right? Or maybe a clinic, somebody within a, healthcare industry, right? You might be doing clinical trials and you might be sending clinical trials accidentally outside, right? Which you don't want to. So what document fingerprinting does is it matches the derivative document from a previously configured template. So you would go in and create a template saying that any document, any attachment which looks like this document need to be captured, and then you do whatever action you want to. So things like a law firm might want to capture legal forms, 1040 or whatever, right? And it's the same exact process. So what you do is you just you create a template document and you upload it as part of the document fingerprint. And then you have to create a policy, right? Just by creating a template is not good enough. You have to create a policy saying that if this user sends a document of this type, then do certain action, right? That's the DLP rule which you need to do as well. So pretty much what it happens is at runtime, in this case, the Fabricam patent form, you know, the author created a title, and then it, you know, let's say it is matching a fingerprint, right, which is in-memory representation, and it's used, it compares that source fingerprint at runtime, and then it evaluates it to declare a match. One thing which you need to kind of realize that, I mean, there's a few limitations, right? Let's say you have a document. All those words in the document need to appear here in the other documents as well, right? And let's say you have a document which has got just pictures in it. It may not work, right? You need maybe some pictures, it's okay. It actually, the idea is something like a form which you go in and fill up, right? And then and you're just creating the template, and then your template is part of the fingerprint. Questions?
So basically, if they took the same form, printed it out with information, scanned it to somebody, this would do it?
Yeah, no, it will work. Right? The same form, if you attach it and send it again, it'll work. I'll show you that.
Send as an image.
Oh, at an image, no, it won't work.
Scan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's sent as an image. No.
Does it parse PDFs at least?
It parses PDFs, but it doesn't.
It has to be the actual printouts of it, not the scan of.
It has to be.
It doesn't
do OCR, so. Maybe right now, not so. Hopefully it will come later. So, okay, let's take a look at how it works. Let's go to demo. Okay, so let me go to my data loss prevention here. So one thing you would notice right under, again, I went to Exchange Online Compliance Management and Data Loss Prevention. And over here, you have something known as Manage Document Fingerprints. So if I click on Manage Document Fingerprints, I already have a document which I uploaded. All I did was I created new and just uploaded a document, which is a template, which I believe I have it here. It's basically a clinical trial checklist, right? I just downloaded it. It's got a bunch of checkboxes. It could also be text or information underneath here. It could be something like a whole text or whatever. So in this case, I went in and uploaded that. And you know, I just clicked close, and basically that fingerprint is available. Now, I went to the clinical drug trial policy. So basically, just by uploading a document fingerprint, that's not good enough. You have to create a policy. So I already created a policy, you know, just like I did before. And if I look at the rule here, it said sent to scope outside the organization. And if I edit this rule, if it says if the document is located outside the organization, I'm just saying I don't want this, you know, clinical trial to go out, right? It can be sent internally. And it says if it contains sensitive information. And the sensitive information in this case is this fingerprint which I uploaded, right? If you go to the list of sensitive information, that fingerprint will appear here. As you can see, there's a bunch of sensitive information types which is coming from Microsoft, but one is from my own little tenant. I mean, this is what I defined. So I just chose that. And then if that happens, I said block the message but allow the send to override and send. So let's see how that works, right? So if I go to my email.
Is somebody available
today? Yeah, it's available now to client as well. So I just demoed the other one, so I'm just demoing a different experience, that's all. So I just click new email. I click attachments. And as you can see, you know, this is a new change that the attachment default is going to be OneDrive, right? So just forcing you to reduce the attachments. But in this case, I'm going to be really bad and say, I'm going to attach it. So let's see, I got my DLP. I'm going to attach my, I just attached it. And then I'm just going to say, send it to my Hotmail address, right? So I've been playing around with it. Okay. So it says that just give the policy tip. This message can't be sent because it contains sensitive information, and I can just see the details of that. But I said you can still override and send it, right? I clicked override, and I click send. I'll put a subject. My really bad idea. So I send this, and it went, right? And as you can see, one of the other things I also did was I wanted an incident report. So before immediately I sent, right, it sent me an incident report. I mean, in this case, Garth is a, I think of Garth as an administrator who's looking at it, right? So he just got that incident report saying that, you know, this email was sent, you know, he overread and sent, you know, now we can go after him and then take whatever action you want to, right? So that's kind of how that works. Now, okay, let's go back to... Let's take a look at SharePoint now, switching gears a bit. I think I kind of mentioned earlier that, you know, we have DLP in SharePoint, but it's the first version. All you can do is search for sensitive content. And the way that happens is basically during the crawling process, we go in and crawl. I kind of described this earlier. It goes and crawls for any content which has got sensitive types, and it's all the defined sensitive types. Right, things like credit card information and all those defined sensitive types, and it classifies it, and I have the ability to search it using my eDiscovery Center. So, I mean, unfortunately, my tenant, it's not been rolled out yet, but I just want to show you how that kind of works, even though I may not have any results. Pretty much what... Oops, I didn't. It's not sharing here. So, you know, over here, what you do is you have, you know, I would just say classification type equal to credit card number, right? And you just put that. There's a bunch of different classification numbers. If you go to the help of DLP, it'll show you all those different classifications which is available. And you can do something like this. It gives me query statistics to with respect to, you know, how many are out there. And this is kind of how you search it.
This,
no, this is just separate right now. But again, like, our vision is to have one single user interface to do that, and that's coming soon, actually. Yeah.
Essentially, just gives you a search query type that uses the same sensitive types you get over in your DLP.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, it's limited. It's 59 types are available right now. Yeah. All right, lastly, let's take a look at DLP reporting and customization. So you guys saw the real-time notifications with incident reports, right? So that's one thing, you know, you can actually set up incident reports whenever somebody emails. You know, you capture that in an email and send it out to the administrator. You could do that. So as you can see, it tells you the audit data. It tells you what classification, was it credit card or whatever it is, and then what rule it was, it hit, and how many were successful, right? And the level of details with respect to the match and the severity level as well. There's also a bunch of reports. There's a comprehensive set of reporting available. There's some reports which are available right in the DLP center, and then some reports which is available as part of the Office 365 Admin Center as well. And you can, you know, drill down into these reports. You can export them into Excel and take steps later. Again, if I just quickly go to a demo here of the reporting capabilities. I mean, unfortunately, my tenant does not have much data in it, so you may not see too many great reports, but you'll get an idea. So if I go to Office 365, there is report section right in your Office 365 admin center. And if I go down, there's a section called DLP. And there's a whole lot of reports out there. So there's a report called Top DLP Policy Matches. You know, I think mine is just the credit card information, which is just sent, should come up as far as, you know, my internet is responding properly. And you can, you know, it just said that there's one rule match. You know, I'm not using it that much. There's a clinical trial policy which was hit in the last 7 days. You can, you know, set multiple days if you want to. Those are all the top matches. And there's one for by email. There's by severity by email. So you can, this, you know, when it comes, you can drill down by like different severity level. You can select, filter it by what rule it applies to. Obviously, only the rules which you chose is going to come here. But you can filter by, like, you know, who is sending what email, what rules are they breaking, right? So you can just see that right here. And there's also, like, things like false positives, you know, if at all. There's matches, how many people override the emails, how many policies have been matched, you know, when this comes up, and then how many false positives are out there, right? So, again, there's, you know, you can filter it by all those things as well. All right, so that's high level with respect to how the reporting works. And then the other thing is you can obviously extend this. Okay, let's come up. So, like I said, DLP is based on transport rules, right? And the DLP policy itself is an XML format. You can buy these policies. You can extend it. You can do other things, right? Let's say, for instance, when somebody is violating a rule, right? You can maybe you get an incident report, and based on the incident report, you want to generate another workflow which does something else, right? You can also extract this data out and then use custom reporting solutions against it. You can use remote PowerShell to manage it, right? So you can manage pretty much all these things using PowerShell, whatever, you know, all these DLP policies as well. You can also customize your end-user policy tips. You know, I kind of demonstrated that already by mistake, I guess. So you can put whatever you want in there. The rule names are kind of displayed. The idea is to provide the user education, the appropriate user education, which makes sense for your organization, right? Different rules could mean different things for different people, but you need to make something which is appropriate for you, right? And you have so if you look at the feature, I think that this is one of the other questions which we got. The policy tips are only available if you use the Exchange on premises, right? The policy tips, I mean, you need to have Outlook in a Service Pack 1 to get the policy tips. Exchange is Service Pack 1, actually. Sorry, I think there's a mistake here. The idea is to give you this comprehensive set of DLP solutions in Office 365. Now, lastly, I think one of the other important thing is how do you plan for your DLP, right? How do you deploy it? So let's say you are coming up, you have a bunch of set of policies which you apply, right? You're not going to enforce them immediately, right? You might want to test them out. You first plan it. You start with a bunch of built-in templates, but then you customize your policy templates. You target a set of, you know, user groups, right? A pilot set of user groups. And then based on how they use it, you further tune, you know, set the policies, you test it, you watch the incident reports and tune it based on the hit rates, right? And during that time, you have the ability to set it in a test mode, right? And when you're ready, you switch your policies to an enforce mode. So, and then you still continue to tune and test the report data trends. So. There's a bunch of resources out there. So that's pretty much it, what I wanted to cover. So I think it's kind of we have another 10 minutes, I guess. I'll be open to any questions. Otherwise, thank you so much for coming. I hope it is useful for you guys. Thank you.